Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everybody in the sanctuary. Good morning to everybody on YouTube and Facebook. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Amen. We are a Bible-based church located in West Philadelphia. And our pastor is Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. 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 Let's shake off everything that's been on us, right? Let's forget everything that's been in the way. Amen. Amen, because I'm going to open us up with prayer, but we want to make sure that our hearts and minds are ready to receive the word of God. Amen? Amen, amen. If we could all stand. Thank you, O Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we look at what you have done in our lives, when we were out there wandering around and did not know you, you protected us. When we did not know you, you loved us. When we did not know you, you provided for us. Thank you, O Lord, that you were constantly reaching out to us. And we had the opportunity, hallelujah, to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. Thank you, oh Jesus. Lord, as we look at everything that has been in the way, your love has been supreme. Hallelujah. Thank you, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, hallelujah. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our friends. And Lord, thank you for making your word always available, that it could be taught to us, preached to us, that despite all that we did that was disobedient, you said, I still love you. I'm still available for you. Lord, we ask that this day, for everyone that's in the sanctuary, for everyone that is online watching this, either today or later on a recording, that your word touch their hearts, that they leave transformed and renewed in their minds, that you would create in all of us a clean heart and renew a right spirit within us, so that, Lord, the chaos of this world would not bring us down, but even more, we would witness to your glory, hallelujah, to those who are lost, to those who need help, to those who are wondering why we are okay, we can tell them, come see a man, hallelujah, who will tell you everything, hallelujah, about you. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You've got more than two or three gathered in your name. So come sit next to us right now. Let us feel the warmth of your presence right now. For your very presence is transforming. That we would glory and honor you. And that you would get the glory and honor out of our lives. For the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. If you could remain standing, I'm going to read our scripture for this morning. So if you need a Bible, the ushers will provide it to you. But I'm getting ready to read the word of God. But let us just, hey, we have started service. That means whatever baggage you had, put it down. Amen. Whatever's been holding you, let it go. Right? So we can hear the word of God and be refreshed and renewed in our minds. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be reading from Matthew, starting with chapter 7, verse 7. I'm going to read to verse 12. Keep asking, and you receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask for them? Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Amen. Amen. I'm going to call up Sister Leah in a moment. We can be seated. Everybody, we're going to enjoy this morning. We're going to enjoy the word. Welcome to all the undergrad brothers and all the alumni brothers. Good to see old and new in the house. Amen. Amen. Our Sister Leah is going to lead us. So let us feel free. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So even as we look at the world celebrating love in such a way, we know that there is no greater love than the love that Jesus has for us. And so as he has sacrificed for us and has loved us, it is our response to love him as well. Hallelujah. And we love him because he first loved us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Oh, I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love, Lord, I love more than anything. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore. you, Lord. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love, Lord, I love. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love, Lord, I love. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore. Yes, thank you, Lord. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love, Lord, I love you more than anything. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we could all stand. Hallelujah. If we could all stand. Hallelujah. The word is coming. Amen. Amen.
Today hosting the Kappa. Thank God for all of you. Before we get into the Word of God, as I have done throughout my time as pastor here at Taylor Tabernacles, we've always welcomed the undergraduate brothers from the Delta Eta chapter, Kappa Alpha Psi, of which I am a member, Deacon Todd is a member, you saw Brother Aaron, he's a member, Reverend Curitan, he's a member, our brother Akeem Franklin, he's a member, and so it's just a small way in which we can give back to our fraternity, which has blessed us so much over the years. And what a special joy it is to have, as Todd, Deacon Todd referred to, some of our alumni brothers here. So glad. Just going to ask Brother Jerry Martin just to lift your hand so we can. Brother Jerry Martin serves in so many capacities throughout the city of Philadelphia, but one of his more significant roles is he is on the board of trustees for Drexel University. Let's give Brother Dr. Martin a hand for being with us today. One of the trustees of Drexel University. We thank God for him. Thank God for Brother Claude Knight being here, who is a managing director for one of the largest consulting firms in the world. Not in Philadelphia, not in the country, but in the world. Claude Knight. Come on, let's welcome Brother Claude Knight here today. Thank God. We thank God for our brother. Now, I don't know who you are, but thank God for coming. I know you're not an undergrad. Thank God for you. Tell me your name. Derek Scott. I see you on the email. Thank God. Oh, nice. Fantastic. Come on, let's thank God for Derek Scott. Yes. finally able to put a face with the name. I see him on the email distribution list. Thank God for him. And so one of the things I know that I enjoy personally, and we as a congregation always enjoy, I did give the brothers a heads up. I'm going to ask the undergraduate brothers to come, right? And I want them to come up here, and Todd, let's push this back. I don't know. They can line in front, I guess. That might be easier. But I'm going to ask the undergraduate brothers to come. I'm going to ask them to line up here. Thank God for their guests who are joining them. Thank God for you. But I want them to come. I'm going to hand them the mic. And all I want them to do is introduce themselves to you, right? I'm going to give their name, what school they're attending in the Big Five, their major area of study or focus as they matriculate, and their hometown. Amen. How's that? That fair? Okay. Let's welcome these undergrad brothers.
Good morning, church. My name is David Garcia. I'm a Fall 22 initiate of the Delta Theta chapter. I'm currently a senior at Drexel University, and I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Good morning, church. My name is Gene Bonquet, Spring 24 initiate. I go to Villanova University where I study finance, and I'm also from New Orleans, Louisiana.
My name is Devin Davidson, a Spring 24 initiate of the Delta Theta chapter. I am at Drexel University studying health science on the pre-dental track, and I'm actually from 6132 Osage Avenue, which is on the street right there.
How are you doing, guys? I'm Eli Smith. I go to Villanova University. I'm also a Spring 24 initiate, and I study public relations and advertising. Oh, and I'm from Houston, Texas.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Miles Daniel. I attend Drexel University, and I major in graphic design. I'm from Plainfield, New Jersey, and I'm also a Spring 24 initiate of the Delta Theta chapter.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Grayson Grigsby. I attend University of Pennsylvania. I'm an economics major. I'm from Bowie, Maryland, also a Fall 24 or a Spring 24 initiate.
I just want to give a quick thank you to all. This is actually our third consecutive year coming back on this specific Sunday. So thank you for continuously to open up y'all doors for us. I definitely appreciate it and hope that we can continue doing this.
Come on, church. Let's bless these guys. They're doing it. They're doing it. They're not talking about doing it. They're not hoping to do it. They're not waiting for someone else to do it. They're out there and they're doing it right now. What a wonderful inspiration they are to our young people who are here and looking at these men as role models. Amen. So thank God for all of you attending here today. The other thing I want to just say quickly, as we're honoring Kappas, what a significant blow to Kappa Land, as on last Saturday, we sent home our John Curitan Sr. And as many of you know, especially here at the church, he's the father of John Curitan, a longstanding member here who's actually not here today. He's actually preaching at another church this morning. But as his pastor, as your pastor, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for loving on him and his family. His boys are here, reaching out to them over the past week as they laid to rest his father, who was made tremendous contributions, not only to Kappa, but to Johnson C. Smith University, where he was an alumni, served in various capacities up and down the East Coast for Kappa, Connecticut, Carolina, in his latter years resided in Atlanta. So I just wanted to mention that. And like I said, we know that. This is what I wanted to mention. The real grieving begins after the funeral. That's when it really starts. The busyness of preparing and making arrangements and all that stuff. And this recent week, you had in there a Super Bowl. And so it was just crowded with activity over the past week, as they were sending his father home. But now that you're back, the funeral's over, the Super Bowl's done, and now you sit quietly at your home. That's when you really begin to feel the weight of losing a father. And so I say all that to say one thing. Pray for him. That we can do. He's not here today. He did say he's going to shoot over as soon as service finishes. He's going to shoot back over. So hopefully, brothers, we'll see him during lunch. But even if you don't, we can continue to pray for him, pray for his family, pray for his sons, pray for his mother and his sister, and keep them at the forefront of our mind in our prayer. Amen. Is that fair? Then lastly, I'll say this before we turn our attention to the Word of God. What a privilege today as we continue to celebrate Black History Month. Today we have a special guest, and she's going to shock you. We have Dr. Amy Cohen with us today. Amy, would you raise your hand? She's here. We thank God for her. And after our service, she's going to be giving us a presentation on Philadelphia's Black History. You're going to be blown away. That's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not going to give any more of the secrets away. But thank God for her being here. Thank God for her willingness to be a part of our celebration of Black History Month. That'll lead us up to our finale on next Sunday, where our young people will be giving their presentation on Black History. Amen? Thank God. Thank God. So we've done enough of that, and now we're going to turn our attention to the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, whether hard copy or electronically, if you need a Bible, feel free to just slip your hands up in the air. We'll get you a Bible. But today we're going to look at Exodus, the 14th chapter, and the 19th verse. Okay? So Exodus, we're in the Old Testament this morning, the 14th chapter, and the 19th verse. Okay? So again, if you need a Bible, feel free to slip your hands up. We'll get you one. If you have your own or have it electronically. And if you don't have one and you're just holding your head down faking it, I'll see you. I'm going to see you on the camera and know you're faking it. But that's where we're going to start, and we're going to be looking at a very familiar passage and story in the Bible, and that is the miracle at the Red Sea. Amen? So as you find that and turn to that in your Bible, I am going to invite you to stand with me just so we honor the Word of God. Exodus 14 and 19 is going to be our primary text. And then we're going to add to the witness just one chapter over out of Exodus, the 15th chapter, verses 20 and 21. Amen. And for my good friend, Claude Knight, if you could just relay this message for me to our good friend, Tom Reynolds. I did not get this sermon from Chat BT, whatever. I didn't use it. My best friend said, yeah, we were hanging out at a Penn basketball game. And I told him, I said, man, the game was over and he wanted to keep hanging. I said, Tom, I got service in the morning. You know, I got to get home. I need to get a good night's rest, get up and preach and all that. And Tom said, yeah, well, just go to Chat BTG, whatever it is, BTG,
or BET, whatever it is. I said, what? And he literally, I gave him my sermon text and Claude was there. And in less than 5 minutes, he pulled up a Christian-based, biblically sound sermon on his phone and said, here, just preach this. He said, that way you can keep hanging out with me and Claude. Because look, we can go get something to drink. So Claude, let Tom know. I did it the old-fashioned way, Jerry. I did it a week, 20 to 25 hours of studying preparation for a sermon. Here we go. Let's get to it. Here, let's get to it. Exodus, the 14th chapter. I'm beginning at verse 19 because the last time I preached the first 18 verses. And so feel free to go to our YouTube channel or website if you want that. But this is the second part of the Red Sea. So here we go. And the angel of the Lord who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. Thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, and it gave light by night to the other, so that one did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. He made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea, all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and all of his horsemen. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud. And through the pillar, and the text said, he troubled the army of the Egyptians. He took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. The Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians and on their chariots and on their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. And so the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all of the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right and left hand. And so the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw that the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. And so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Amen. Just flip over one chapter, chapter 15, 20 and 21. It says, then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dancing. And Miriam answered them these words, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. Amen. This morning, for the next 15, 20 minutes, I want to talk from the subject, remember the Red Sea, right? Remember the Red Sea. Shall we bow our heads? Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name and your name alone is worthy to be praised. So we have gathered ourselves here this Sunday, this Lord's Day, in this place, at this hour, gathered with those that are of like precious faith, simply to praise your name for the victory that you have gotten for yourself. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the propitiation for our sins. We thank you that you placed it on our hearts and on our minds to be gathered in this congregation of faith, that we might open our ears and eyes to the Word of God, that upon hearing it, we might be transformed, become less of ourselves, and more like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Holy Spirit, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, and above all, give us a heart to obey, that the light of your love might shine brightly in and through us. It's our prayer. We ask it in Christ's name for his sake and glory alone. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. So I want to begin with this phrase. Remember the Alamo. Remember the Alamo. Just by a show of hands, if that phrase means anything to you, just slip your hands up in the air, just by a show of hands. Remember the Alamo. Thank you for your kindness. You guys have done far better than my church did 2 weeks ago. I don't know where they're learning American history, but much better showing this Sunday. Now, for those of you that did not raise your hands or are unfamiliar with that phrase, remember the Alamo, it is a battle cry that symbolizes the fight for Texan independence from Mexico. It was used by Texan defenders during the Battle of the Alamo in 1836. And it was later used by U.S. soldiers during the Mexican-American War. This battle cry conveyed both strength and honor. Remember the Alamo. And so for many of us who raised their hands, even without knowing all the exact details and all the specifics, certain things came to mind when we heard that phrase. Remember the Alamo. I don't know if I learned it in fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh. I don't know when I learned it, where I learned it. But remember the Alamo. My mind immediately goes to Texas. Even if I don't know where, and I just, there's certain things I just remember about it. And because we have one of the greatest San Antonians living in our church today, Mother Mary Radcliffe, we immediately not only go to Texas, but we go down south to San Antonio, right? Because just that phrase, remember the hour, we immediately know it had something to do with a fight. Can't remember who was fighting, what they were fighting for, but certain things just come to mind. Remember the Alamo. Now, my hope is that as your pastor this Sunday, by the same token that the phrase, remember the Alamo, brings to the forefront of your mind and memory certain aspects of that war and that period in American history, my hope is that as your pastor, when we say remember the Red Sea, by the same token, my hope is that certain images, thoughts come to your mind out of your biblical history. Are you with me? The Red Sea. Just as soon as you hear, it is one of the great biblical stories, right? It is part of the stories that we tell our children as babies in the bed. We tell them about David and Goliath, right? We tell them about Samson. And along that line, we tell them about the miracle at the Red Sea. Right? We learn it in Sunday schools. Our pastors preach about it so that over the years, just when we hear it, the Red Sea, certain images come to mind. Certain thoughts come to mind. And so in that vein and in that fashion, what I want to do this Sunday morning with the few moments that I have, I want to attach certain promises that were given during the miracle at the Red Sea, right? Right? We know that there was a Pharaoh. We know that it was the Egyptians, right? Not going to rehearse that story. I did that a few Sundays ago, right? You can see that on YouTube, right? But in that great miracle, there were four promises that were given not only to the children of Israel, but to us as believers by extension, right? Such that when you hear the phrase, the Red Sea, I want you to remember what you remember, Moses, the Pharaoh, remember that stuff, but I also want you to remember these promises, right? And here they are. I'm giving it to you up front, just in case you catch a quick church nap, you down the road, right? I'm a helpful pastor. I always told my church, I never want to be a great pastor. I want to be a helpful pastor, right? And a helpful pastor gives you the sermon right up front. And that way, if you got to catch a quick one, I got it. Here it is. Four promises out of the miracle. Here's the first thing I want you. This is the promise out of the miracle of the Red Sea. Is to know that God has your back. If you read the story of the Red Sea, you will see clearly that God has your back. Right? In addition, here's another promise out of the Red Sea miracle, and that is that God will always provide a way out. I love him for that. That's my promise. Y'all don't get in enough trouble to appreciate that. See, I grew up on the wrong side. I was in trouble all the time. And as a result, I always needed. All right, come on. I got somebody else grew up where I grew up from. Here it is. God has your back. He'll always provide a way out. And if you hold your peace, God will always fight for you. Now that one, you gotta live a little while, right? You guys in college, you're a little too young, because what you do when you're young, you believe that you can fight your own battles. But you live a little while, right? Hair get gray, right? We're not able to do as much, go as fast. Then you realize and thank him for the fact that God will always fight for you. That's helpful to somebody already. If I stop now, say, Pat, that's a good word. That's good to know that. Here's the fourth promise out of the Red Sea miracle. God will always provide salvation for you. He'll not only fight for you, but he'll save you. Right? Are you with me? If you got it, say, I got it. Good. Here we go. The Red Sea. Now, again, we know what we know. It's the Red Sea. It's biblical times. It's the other side of the country and all the side of the world. And we got all of that. But this is what I want you to get when I say the Red Sea. All right? The Red Sea is represented by anyone who finds themselves stuck between a rock and a hard place. As Israel found themselves stuck between a Red Sea, stuck between a Pharaoh who hated them, who had 600 choice chariots. Red Sea in front, Pharaoh behind me in hot pursuit, mind you, and watch this. I've got wilderness on either side. That's where Israel was when they came to the Red Sea. Now, if you go back and listen to their previous sermon, I won't forward this because I'll chase a rabbit, but I said it the last sermon, and God put them there. I wish I had a real church, but you got to go get that. I'm not going to fool with that. You're not getting me in trouble. Right? So the Red Sea, remember what you remember about it. But as a result of today's sermon, I want you to keep this in context. What the Red Sea represents is anyone who finds themselves stuck between a rock and a hard place. Right? Right, let's keep this whole academic environment going. Watch this. By a show of hands, how many folks have ever found themselves at some point in their own lives stuck between a rock and a hard place? Some people got two hands up. I'm looking at this guy in the back. He got his foot up on the... What? You come for special prayer after... Lord Jesus, help us. But look, that's life, right? That's life. You live long enough, you're going to find yourself at the Red Sea, stuck between a rock and a hard place. Let's get down to business here. 19, we read it. Here it is. The angel of God went before the camp of Israel. And it says, it says that he moved and went behind Israel. I'm in verse 19. And the angel of God, who previously went before Israel, right, now moves and goes behind them. And the pillar of cloud went from before them and now stood behind them, right? Here it is, verse 20. And so it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And thus it was a cloud and darkness to the one, the Egyptians who were behind, right? And it gave light by night to the other, so that the one did not come near the other all night. Right? So let me just read this to you in your hearing. Exodus 13th chapter, now one before. Don't have to turn there, I'm going to read it. 21 and 22, it says, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. And he did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So all the way up to the Red Sea, God has led the children of Israel. And he led them by sending his angel, which, as we study the word of God, is actually a theophany, right? The pre-incarnation of Christ comes into the earth in the early stages of biblical history as a cloud leading Israel. Cloud by day, fire by night. And all through their wandering, God always remained in front of the people. Why? Because he was leading them. They didn't know where they were going. Might I remind you, Israel had been enslaved by the Egyptians for over 400 years. The only thing they knew was Egypt. They had never been outside of Egypt. So even if God were to free them and allow them to escape, where would they go? They don't know anything. They've never been anywhere. They've never been, their parents never been, their grandparents, they never. So it wasn't enough for God to bring them out. God had to lead them to where they were going. Right? But now we come to the Red Sea, and God does something that blows my mind. He changes positions. The text said the cloud moved from before them and now went behind them. Right? Let me see if my real church is here. Right? This helps us to understand that God has the duality responsibility that at some points in our lives, he stays out in front of us to lead us. But when necessary, I don't know about you, I love Jesus. But when the situation calls for it, when I've got Pharaoh on my heels, when I've got 600 choice chariots breathing down my back, God will. He'll change positions. And he changes positions to let Israel know that I will always have your back. Let the church say it. Come on, if you're glad about that, give him some kind of praise. The most vulnerable part of the body of any soldier is not in front. Of course, you got a breastplate on. You got a helmet on. You got shields and planks covering your extremities. But the most vulnerable part is always the soldiers. But God has your back. That's one of the promises of the Red Sea. Verses 21 and 22. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind. Listen to this. And he made the sea into dry land. Are you guys with me? The sea, or if we call it appropriately, an ocean. It wasn't enough that he divided the ocean. Look what he did. Then he dried the ground. Do you understand how amazing that is? He could have just pushed the sea back. Then the children of Israel would have had to go through in what? Muddy sand. Muddy sand is what? Hard to traverse. Right? You can't get your foot out. Right? And you got to understand, when they left Egypt, they left with all the gold that Egypt had. So they just weren't walking free. The Bible said the young men went out with their backs bowed over. Right? You remember I taught on that. They had gold. And why did they have the gold? God made Pharaoh pay them back for 400 years of slavery plus interest. Wait a minute. Let me help you understand it. That's why Pharaoh wanted them back. Pharaoh wanted his money back. Pharaoh didn't love Israel, nor did he love their God. Pharaoh loved his money. Pharaoh had every intention of killing them in the wilderness. But he took 600 choice chariots for what? Load that gold. Bring it back, baby. Put that back in my treasury. That's my gold. Here it is. They go on dry land. Water divided. So the children of Israel went in the midst of the sea on dry ground. And the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Here it is. The children of Israel, as I said before, were in an impossible and an escapable situation. It wasn't just impossible, but there was literally no way out. Red Sea in front, Pharaoh and his armies behind, wilderness on either side, for which they could not traverse. They didn't have maps. They didn't have Google's maps. They couldn't Waze it. I'm preaching now. I said, oh my God, Pastor Ford preaching this Sunday. But in spite of being in an impossible situation, and in spite of being in an inescapable situation, yet the God of Israel made a way out. Here's something I want you to remember when you think about the Red Sea. And that is that God will always provide a way out. Even when it's dark. Even when the situation is dangerous. Even when the situation seems impossible. The God that we serve has the kind of power that in spite of all of the odds, in spite of all of the predictions, in spite of all of the medical analysis, in spite of the bankruptcy proceedings, our God, your God, my God, will always provide a way out. Somebody shout yes. Here it is. I got the witness to prove it. Here it is. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with every temptation, he will also make a way of escape so that you might be able to bear. No matter the situation, God will always provide a way out. Even in the darkest hour. Here you go, help me preach this. Look at somebody and tell them, God's got a way out. Listen. I didn't say I have a way out. I don't. Nor do I have a plan A, B, or C. But the God that I serve will always, I got the witness on it, he'll always provide a way out. Give him glory. Give God the glory. Here it is, 23. The Egyptians pursued after them into the midst of the sea. All of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, God, the Lord, looked down upon the army of the Egyptians. Get this. And he troubled the army of the Egyptians. The morning, God looks down out of the cloud that is not, watch this, it's behind Israel, but in front of the Egyptians. Now, Israel is walking on dry ground through the midst of an ocean. And I told you, all of their sons and grandsons got gold on their back. So it's taking them a little while, right? Pharaoh has 600 horse-drawn chariots. And every step that Israel takes, Pharaoh takes 6 more as a result of riding on horse-drawn chariots. So the gap Let me show you how good God is. Right? I told you he changed position. Right? He went behind them. Right? To protect them. Let me show you how good God is. Not only was he protecting them from Pharaoh and the Egyptians and the chariot, watch this. He kept them from seeing the danger getting closer. You don't understand what I said. He went behind them to protect them from Pharaoh. But the cloud of fire at night was so large that while Israel was walking on dry ground, once they got tired of looking at the sharks, whale, and lobster staring at them through the wall of water, you know that, y'all didn't get that. They went through it was lit, and I told the people the other Sunday, it was like being at an aquarium. And what do all kids do when they go to the aquarium? In spite of having signs everywhere that says what? Do not touch the glass. Let me tell you what my boys do. You take them to the Camden Aquarium, first thing they do is this. I'm like, Jermaine, you did teach them to read, right? Do not. You got to understand. It's literally a wall of water. And it wasn't like the fish disappeared. They just had to stay behind their natural boundary. So even as Israel looked at the fish did what? The fish came over and looked at Israel. And even the fish said, what in the world is going on? So you got all of that. So they're already looking sideways. Now the kids went and put their face up against the wall. But the parents and grandparents, watch this. They kept turning. and began to look back over their shoulders, right? But instead of seeing Pharaoh, all they saw was God. I'm going to be honest with you. There's been times in my life I have urinated on myself from seeing danger. I didn't encounter it. I saw it. I saw the gang coming down the street. And I got scared. Right? That's where you live at. You hear what he said? Oh, say that. Look, we all here, Doc. We all here. Osage Avenue is not the worst block in Philly. It's up there. Come on, we live here. We know what we're talking about. You help me preach this. Have any of you ever been in a position when you saw danger? Not. You got the bill. The bill's an impossible price to pay. But what? You got 30 days. But still, just the sight of the letter in your hand. I need a real church to preach in. That's what you call a Red Sea moment. And the sight of danger paralyzes you with fear. So God repositions himself not only to protect Israel, but to keep them from seeing the impending danger. Watch this. That was getting closer and closer. Are you with me? All right, here it is. Here it is. So God protects them. 23 and we read it, whatever. Here it is. Listen to what he said. The Bible says, these guys are going to catch up with Israel before they get across. I don't know the last time you looked at the distance of an ocean. It ain't like you going around the corner to Market Street. You got some ground to cover. And I don't care even if it is dry ground, that's still a long ways to walk. And every time you take one step, your enemy is gaining six. Eventually, they're going to overtake you. Are you with me? So the Bible says, not only did God keep Israel from seeing Pharaoh gaining ground, the Bible says God troubled the Egyptians. Oh my God. At the Red Sea, you got to remember God will always fight for you. But this is why I'm going to linger on this point. God does not fight the way you and I fight. Right? God fights in a supernatural manner. And so he troubles. How did he trouble them, Pastor? The Bible says that as these 600 choice horse-drawn chariots, and come on, you guys done saw a gladiator, so get the image in your mind. Those horses are going. They eating up that ground. The horse riders, they getting there. They ready to bear down. Right? Right? And Bible says God troubled the Egyptian. Now, I don't know how he did it, but the Bible says the wheels of their chariots began to become discombobulated. Somebody say, preach, Pastor Ford. I got all these educated folk here. Dr. Cohen, Dr. Martin. I went to Penn too. Now, discombobulate. And the wheels of the chariot began to separate from the axle to which they were attached. Right? Now this is me. Everybody, look at me. This is me and my holy imagination, right? This is Pastor Ford talking. This is not in your Bible. Israel's walking dry ground. Pharaoh, Egyptians, choice chariot, 600, gaining ground. As I studied this text, Claude, this is what you don't get from ChatGPT. Tell Tom. As I kept reading the text, fellas, the Bible kept mentioning the fact that Israel went on dry ground. It says it over and over. Israel went through on dry ground. They keep making that a point. So I've learned in Bible study, anytime the Bible repeats something, that's a cue. What? Go dig it out. Something's going on there that is not immediately available to the naked eye. And again, this is me and my holy imagination. The wheels come off. So God took the ground that was dry for Israel. And now when Pharaoh and his chariots come after them, watch this, on the same ground, God changed what was dry for Israel and made it wet for the Egyptians. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried riding your bike on the wet seashore, not up on the boardwalk, right? All you wildwood lovers. Down on the, where the wave has come in and go, and that sand is what? Wet. Muddy. Stick. You can't even get a good, right? And it almost feels like the wheels on your Schwinn 22. Man, I'm preaching now. I'm preaching better than y'all realize. It's either that or y'all never had a Schwinn bike when y'all were growing up. It was one or the other. But the wheels get stuck. The chain gets stuck. And what was a smooth ride now becomes a difficult ride, such that either you fall off your bike or you what? Quit. I'm just riding my bike won't work. I want you to see what God did. God changed the ground. What was dry for his people and made an easy pathway now becomes wet and difficult, watch this, for your enemies. Right? Are you with me? If you got it, say I got it. Now get this. This is worth coming out the church this morning right here. Watch this. Verse 25. And so he took off the chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty, right? What we just talked about. Listen. Don't listen. This is what I want everybody to do. Everybody turn to Exodus 14:25. Open your Bible back up. I know you closed them. You thought I was going to do all the heavy lifting. Seriously, I need every, open your Bible. This is the sermon right here. This is worth coming out this Sunday right now. Are you with me? 14:25. Chariot took the wheels off, drove them with difficulty. Now listen to what the Egyptians say. Here it is. Let us flee from the face of Israel. What? Why would you flee? You just traveled hundreds of miles to get the Israelites. So what now would make you stop and say, let's turn around and flee from the Israelites? Here it is. Here's the witness. Here it is. Let us flee from the face of Israel. for the Lord. Oh my God. Fights for them. Help me, help me, help me. Raise your hand if you grew up in church. Just raise your hand if you grew up in church. Good. Now I want you to help me. And I want you to use your best preaching voice. You ready? And just say, use your good preaching voice. And just say, the Lord will always fight for you. Give him a praise. So the next time you find yourself stuck at the Red Sea, just remember that God will always fight for you. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. The Lord will. God will somehow, some kind of way, God will. Woo! Woo! I dare you to pray. I dare you. I dare you to give God the. Woo! He's fighting for you right now. You don't even know it. You're not even aware of it. But God is fighting for. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah, God's fighting for me. Yes. My family may not fight. My Kappa brothers may not fight. But God will. God will. He'll always. He'll always. Let me have it, fellas. Not only will he fight for you, look at verse 30. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. What do you do when you look at the seashore and the very thing that was trying to kill you is lying dead itself on the seashore of life? It should cause you to remember that God will always provide salvation. He not only fights, but God always wins. By his own right arm, he has gotten us the victory. Somebody shout yes! The Roman writer says it like this, that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised him up from the dead, he said, then you shall feet. Say, it's a reminder that God always provides salvation. Where are the saved of Jesus Christ? Where are the blood washed, the born again, Holy Ghost filled? Somebody shout, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. I was once dead in trespasses and sins, but thanks be unto God who's given us the victory. I'm saved. So the next time you find yourself at the Red Sea, just remember that God has your back. The next time you find Pharaoh and 600 choice chariots on your heels, just remember that God will always provide a way out. The next time you're at the Red Sea, just remember that God fights for you. The next time you're at the Red Sea, remember God will always provide salvation for you. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. Here it is. I'm finished. I got to quit. I got the campus here. I got Dr. Cohen here. And I got to get out of this. So when you hear the word Red Sea, I want these promises to come back to mind. All right? Now, there's one action step that's required. Are you with me? Now, I told you. You're at the Red Sea because God led you there. Got to remember that. That's last Sunday's sermon. You didn't stumble upon the Red Sea. God, your protector, led you to the Red Sea. Right? It was God who hardened Pharaoh's heart to cause him to raise his entire Egyptian army to come after you. Look at somebody and say, God did that. Those of us of a certain age, we remember what Flip said. Flip said, the devil made me do it. The devil didn't do it. The devil didn't make Pharaoh do this. God did it. God led you to the Red Sea. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Pharaoh said, get out. I'm done with it. But God made him get mad again. Now you got 600 choice chariots. Because you had never been outside of Egypt, and now you got wilderness on either side, you can't go to the left or to the right. You're in an impossible and an inescapable situation. And God does for you what He did for Israel. He provides a way of escape. Right? And now, you're standing on the other seashore, having gone through an entire ocean on dry ground. You now get to the other side and you stand on the seashore and you look back, and the text said in the morning They saw the dead bodies of their taskmasters, of the women that they served. They saw their gold chariots. Watch this. That the Israelites made for them. They saw their glittering gold swords. That's what they saw. As they stood back and watched the waters come crashing down. And this is what Miriam did. As they saw what God had done. Not Moses. Not Aaron. Not Joshua. When they saw the power of God's right arm and how he defeated Pharaoh, the world's greatest superpower at that time. The Bible said, go get my tamarind. Marion went into her pouch. And the Bible said she got a timbrel. What all you church babies now call a tambourine. And when she saw what God had done. The Bible said Miriam, and she got all the sisters. Watch this. If you study it, she didn't coerce them. They followed her. When they saw Miriam go down to the seashore, bringing that tamarind, she began to sing praises unto God and said, look how glorious our God have triumphed over the Egyptians. Here it is. This is your homework assignment. The next time God brings you through the Red Sea, you got to remember to give God a Red Sea praise. So Miriam the prophetess, sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out, listen to this, after her, meaning they followed her, with their timbrels and with dancing. And Miriam sang, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. So when you come through your Red Sea, you've got to remember to give the Lord a Red Sea praise. Right? I thought my church was here this morning. They went out for a snack break or something. Remember to give the Lord a Red Sea praise. If you don't know what a Red Sea praise is, a Red Sea praise is not a cute praise. That's not a Red Sea praise. A Red Sea praise is a crazy praise. It's the kind of praise, when you start praising God like this, your children do this. I don't know what's gotten into mama this Sunday. I don't know why dad's up there acting like that. Because a Red Sea praise is a crazy praise. And it's a crazy praise because you realize that if God hadn't got you out, you would have been swallowed by Pharaoh. Somebody in this church, give the Lord a Red see. Pray. Go for it, tell it. Go, 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 go. Yes. I would have died. Cancer had me. But the Lord fought for me. Bankruptcy almost took me out. But the Lord provided. Give him a Red Sea praise. I almost died. I didn't think I was going to make it. I owed more in tuition than I had in salary. But the Lord fought for. I got to praise him. I know what he's done. Brother Scott, I know what he's done. Claude, I know what God. Woo! Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He brought me out. Oh, my God. When I think of his goodness and all that the Lord has done for me, my soul, I don't know about your soul, because I don't know what he's done for you, but I'm here to tell you this morning, I've been at the Red Sea. I know what it's like to be between a rock and a hard place. I know what it's like to be in a place where your family can't help you. I know what it's like to be in a place where your fraternity can't help you. I know what it's like to be in a place where the medical community can no longer help you. I know what it's like to have more bills than money. This is my personal testimony. I know what it's like. That's why I had to preach this message. God said, I want you to preach the Red Sea. I said, why? So many in your congregation standing on the shores of the Red Sea. And they need a reminder of what I have already done. So that you don't lose hope. So that you don't get through your junior year of college and decide to quit. I went to schools with guys who went through their junior year. 1 year left. 1 semester left. We all asked, why? Why did you do it? The reality was, they were at the Red Sea. They couldn't go forward. Only a semester left, but they couldn't do it. Well, why don't I just turn and just get a job until next semester? No one would hire them. And they quit. That's why I preached this sermon this morning. That whoever you are, I'm telling you, don't quit. God's got your back. Even if your fraternity doesn't. Even if your family fails to do it, God got your back. Even if you don't see any way out, God fights for you. You believe on His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Scriptures have said, you shall be saved. God won't let you drown in that Red Sea. And sometimes it's only God who knows the Red Sea you face. Because unlike our victories, we don't talk about our Red Sea moments. Because we're not at our best, Jerry. Our gold isn't shiny. Brothers, see that there? That's life membership in chapel. It won't get you through the Red Sea moments. I've had this from the year after I graduated. I got my life membership. And not once did it help me through the Red Sea moments of my life. I'm just telling you what I know. I'm not trying to be a great pastor. I'm trying to be a helpful one. Well, pastor, if that didn't get you through, how did you get through? God fought for me. Somehow God made a way out. Today I owe my life. Of course, He brought me through the Red Sea. And I know more about God now on this side of the Red Sea than I ever knew before. Because the Lord has brought me through. Shall we all stand? Nobody knows your Red Sea but God. And I want you to hear what I've said all morning long. God brought you to that Red Sea. God did it. And He didn't bring you there to kill you. He didn't bring you there to drown you with the cares of this. That's not why He brought you there. He brought you there so that He could prove His love to you. He brought you there just like He brought you here this Sunday morning so that you could remember the Red Sea. And I'm telling you today, God's going to bring you out. I don't know what your Red Sea is. I don't know how long you've been there. But God does. And God commissioned me. There's 66 books in the Bible. I could have preached, I could have touched down anywhere in the sacred, but He said no. He said the Red Sea. And He did it for you. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Would you do me a favor and just hold the hand of the person next to you? Come on, let's get connected. Israel made it across because they were connected. Father, in the name of Jesus, well, I feel your glory right now. And I feel the power of your word. God, let your word go forth. Let it find good ground fertile soil. Let the seed of your word fall now in the good ground, fertile ground. God, start the germination process now. Whatever they're going through, whatever their Red Sea might be, let them know you're the God of the Red Sea. You're the God of the miracle that happens in Red Sea moments in the name of good God. Help me today. Squeeze that hand. Help me this morning. Squeeze that hand. You're the hand of God this morning. And every time you squeeze it, you're let, good God, help me. Help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. God is letting you know. Got your back. I got a way out for you. I'm getting ready to fight for you. Just hold your peace. Stand still. See the salvation that God provides. Good God, help me. Squeeze that hand. That's the hand of the Lord to you. Every time they squeeze, that's God telling you, remember the Red Sea. Remember what I did there. And even as I did it for Israel, so I will also. Whoever you are, man or woman, boy or girl, God's going to bring you through this. Somehow, some kind of way, God's going to show himself strong in your life. And when he does, just remember to give him the praise. Give him the glory. Give him the honor that is due his name. I thank God that I remember the Red Sea. And all of God's people said amen. Amen. Amen again. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. God bless you, Taylor. What a wonderful church. What a wonderful, wonderful congregation. The Lord be with you.
Amen. 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 We're going to switch the order up a little so there will be no drum roll right now. Amen. For those who are visiting, you'll find that out later. But anyway, I'm going to proceed with our announcements, but I want to make two things clear right before I read through the announcements. First of all, if there's anyone here who desires prayer or wants to know more, you can call the church at 215-748-4578. Or if I could, just real quick, all of the ministers, deaconesses who are here, just stand up. Just stand up. If you look around this room, if you want to approach one of us today, and just ask us questions. Just look around the room, see one of us. You can approach us later. Amen? Amen. We can have prayer with you. We can discuss what you need to have discussed. Amen? Amen. Amen. So with that, I'm going to move forward with our announcements. Amen? So there's a standard part of the announcements, which is we thank everybody who's joining us via Facebook and YouTube for always here available at the church. Amen? However, if you're not feeling too hot, watch online. Amen? Fair enough, right? What are we dealing with now? Another flu season. People are getting sick all over, not just COVID, but everything. So if you don't feel well, you can always reach us online. Amen? And past sermons, as the pastor just covered, you can go find those prior sermons. Amen? Amen. But if you can, we love seeing you out. Amen? Amen. Amen. So let's cover. We know today the brothers are here. We also know today we're going to have our Philadelphia history presentation after service for the brothers and your guests. And I got to figure out which floor it's going to be on, but we have refreshments for you as well. Amen? Amen. Now let's turn our attention to February 19th, which is this Wednesday night, our Wednesday night Bible study. We will receive an update on Israel from from our Rabbi David Strauss. Amen. So the pastor's asking everyone to sign in at 7 p.m. on time. I think the link will also be up there. But for those of you that don't know, there is a synagogue that we partner with for many things. And Rabbi Strauss is going to give us an update on what is going on in Israel. I know you see what's going on in the news, but let us also log in so we can get a better understanding of what is going on. Amen? Amen. Amen. February 23rd, Bible Memorization Sunday. I almost mispronounced that. Bible Memorization Sunday. Amen. Every fourth Sunday this year, either an adult or youth from YLE will recite one of the 10 Bible verses that every Christian should know. And that list was handed out to us a couple weeks ago. If you need another one, let us know. But we know that there are 10 verses that we all want to make sure that we have memorized and know. Amen? Amen. And it may take some time, but you should know these verses. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the next thing with our marriage ministry. It's presenting couple and or family photo day immediately following morning service. That would be next Sunday on the 23rd. So you would head upstairs to take a professional photo of you and your boo or your family. And you'll receive an electronic copy. So next Sunday, amen. We got RSVP today? Okay. So as Brother Tyrone said, if you're going to do it, we need RSVP today. Amen. So it's, who are they touching base with? You? Touch base with him. Amen? Amen. 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 Next, going forward every Sunday, we are gathering at 8:30 for in-person. That's actually, I think it's 9:30. In 8:30 a.m. in-person corporate prayer, followed by morning worship. And that is at 9:30 every Sunday. Our deaconess Keisha and several others, we are here to set the atmosphere. Before the word comes, we want to have what? The atmosphere. Amen. So if you can, make it in early. Amen. We have corporate prayer for a few minutes just to set the atmosphere. Okay. Finally, each Sunday, you know, we're doing it second, third, fourth Sundays. We have our YLE, our Young Life Ministry. And remember the pastor's challenge. Remember the pastor's challenge. Young people, invite people out. He's told you what your reward will be. If you don't remember, talk to our deaconess Kim. Amen? But let's encourage others because it's online. So let's encourage our friends to come out. Amen? And finally, as you know, we have young ladies in the church that I believe are still selling Girl Scout cookies. Amen? So you can, I don't know if Zakiya is here. I know my wife is here, Cassandra, Kennedy, Zoe, Zaya. They're all selling cookies. If you're still interested, I don't know, come to me and I'll point you to the right person. Amen? Amen. With that, those are our announcements. I'm going to bring out our pastor back out. He's going to do our offering and our benediction. Amen?
God bless you. Hey, Josh, is our instructions for giving up there? Good. So this is our time of giving. And you can give in one of three ways they have up on the board. You can text that code. If you send a text to that code, it'll give you a link. You can give electronically that way. I believe our Venmo account is up there. You can give that way, right? And for those that are old-fashioned like me, we still have offering plates, right? Hey, thank God for the old offering plates, right? That's how we that's what we did. Your grandmother gave you a crumpled up dollar and say, go up there and put that in. And we do it. And just take a look. So one is for tithes and offering if you want to be a blessing to the church. There's another one there for the speaker if you want to throw in a love offering to be a blessing to me and my family. Also, I think my Cash App account is up there. And so that's how we do it. So if you want to give electronically, you can do it now. If you want to give cash at the end of the service, those baskets are there. Deacon Todd will be there. Not only to bless you, but to make sure when you put your hand in, it comes out empty. Right. God, I need a good capper, brother. I need a good capper, brother, with that assignment. I can't let no any other joker do that. Good. Give me that stuff on my desk, that flyer. So you got that. So do that.
This is where I need your help.
Right. I'm going to ask Ty. I'm going to try to give one a row. I didn't make a whole lot of copies.
But this is what we want to do. I told you, these brothers are here. You heard where they're from. Some of the best institutions our city has to offer, Villanova, Penn, Drexel. They're all here, St. Joe's, LaSalle. I want to be a blessing to these young men and their work on these multiple campuses around the city. They're role models, not just to other young black men, but they're a role model to men and women on all of those campuses, in their hometown, in their neighborhood, on Osage Avenue. We need more men like this, right? Out on the front line. And so this is what I want you to do. And I need everybody to give, right? Even if you don't give the church, I need you to give the Kappa this Sunday. The QR code is there. Take your phone out and scan it. You can either give. One is Cash App. One is Venmo, right? You can do that. There's also PayPal. When you get the flyer, if you got your money in PayPal, you can do it. They got it up on there. Would you help me this Sunday? When they open that account, I want them to see every name in here, right? That, hey, I don't care if you give $5, $25, I don't care if you give $250 or $500, but help these young men. They're doing programming on every campus that you heard mentioned. Villanova, Drexel, Penn, St. Joe's, LaSalle. They're there doing programming to encourage other men, other young women to take advantage of the academic opportunity they've been given. So would you do that for me? Everyone has it. It's coming. If you don't have it, it's coming down your row. But do that. Give what you can today. Today. Any questions about that? Anybody's got any questions? Good. Good. Straightforward, simple. Great. I see people on their phones. Good. This is the only time in the service that I'm glad to see people on their phone. Lord knows I don't like it when I'm up preaching and they're on their phone. And look, when I call them out, look what they say, Scott. Oh, I was looking up your Bible verse, Pat. No, you weren't. Don't compound it by making words. And now, good, good. You've been a blessing to the church. You've been a blessing to the Delta Eta chapter of Kappa Alpha Psi. Now, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. I went way over time. This is what we're doing. Dr. Amy Cohen is here. When I come back out, I'm going to read her resume. You're going to be impressed by who she is. She's dedicated her life to Philadelphia black history, researching it, investigating it. She's put together a book about it, published by Temple University, of which she has donated 20 copies to the church. So after you hear her presentation, if you want a copy, the first 20 copies are free, and she will stay to sign and autograph your book if you would like her to, okay? But what we're going to do, we're going to take a 5-minute, 7-minute bio break. Our restrooms are in the back of the church. If you go back there and go down to the lower level, men and women bathrooms are there. But just at 12 o'clock, we're going to come back. I'm going to bring Dr. Cohen up. Brief introduction. She's going to do her presentation. The AB team's going to have it up on the big board while she narrates. 30-minute presentation, after which she's going to answer any questions you might have about her research and work. I'm telling you, whatever you do, don't leave. You need to hear what she's put together, okay? You have that when that's over, right? That's when the day is over, service is over. For all of my Kappa brothers, after the conclusion of the presentation, we're all going upstairs to the third floor. There they'll have lunch for all of us. It'll be time for us to break bread, fellowship across the generations, young with old with young with old. So many nukes have come in even while the service was going on. So glad to see you, Brother King. God bless you, Brother Scott. God bless you. But that's the order, okay? Brief benediction, 12 o'clock, Dr. Amy Cohen. Once she wraps up, feel free to get into your day. And like I said, all the Kappas and their guests. Come on, let's give the ladies a hand. The Kappas are always good with the ladies. Let's thank God for the Kappas. Lord Jesus.
the tradition lives on. Thank God for Jesus. Right, right. The cap is coming up. They're friends. Meet us up on the third floor. I'm coming up. All of us are going to be there. Lunch is going to be provided for you. And like I said, we'll have time of fellowship. Amen? Great. Stay right where you are. Yeah. Tell me. Okay.
Do it. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. We would not be remiss. He says he's not a great pastor. We believe he is the absolute greatest pastor. Amen. 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 But this morning we want to celebrate his birthday, which was this past week. Amen. So if you will all stand and join with me as we sing happy birthday to our pastor, we'd be so grateful. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear pastor. Happy birthday to you. Amen.
I called my wife up, Jermaine, who is a Delta, by the way, because she is the recipient of all gifts to the Ford household. Whether to me, whether to the boys, Mama gets it all. So I just said, look, if she would have given it to me, I would have given it to Tyrone. She would have winked at Tyrone, and Tyrone just gave her all the gifts. Church, I love you. Thank you for remembering my birthday as you always do. Come on, with our heads lifted up, may the God of heaven look down and smile upon you. May he give you peace and grace to go with you in the days, weeks, and months ahead. And may his presence never leave your side. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of our Christ, the Lord Jesus. Amen. 12 o'clock, folks. Visit the bathroom in the back. Like I said, I'm bringing up Dr. Cohen in less than 7 minutes. Your offering, feel free to give your offering. Make sure you give the Kappa. Amen. We'll be back up on the mic in 5 minutes. God bless you, Taylor.